Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 8, and we've read all the way up to verse 35, and we've been learning about the 7-day consecration period for Aaron and his sons for the service of the Lord. And you take a look at that verse 36. So Aaron and his sons did all things which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses.
That's commendable, isn't it?
Yes.
Had they not, it would have affected the whole nation. But they followed the protocol, okay? And that's what we have to learn to do. What would have happened if Jesus had not done everything like the Father had ordained? Then there would not be redemption for mankind, would it? Pretty interesting.
It is interesting. And, you know, we can take that and say, oh, well, that was just for Moses and Aaron and his sons. But the promptings that we get on the inside of us that the Holy Spirit gives us can affect so many people. I was telling Pete and Kenzie that I had a prompting that I needed to do something Sunday evening. And I didn't do it. I was supposed to reset that router before service even started, and I didn't do it. I mean, I got the check to do it, and I didn't do it. You know what? It affected that service, because there was a song that was to be played before the service, the message that was presented, and we couldn't play it. There was, you understand, and we can write that off. I could have written that off as, oh, well, you know, this, this, and this, and that's what I did. But I was wrong. Bottom line is, I had an instruction and didn't fall through with it because I couldn't wrap my head around why that would be important. But here's the lesson that we take from it, that I take from it for me personally. I get the direction. I need to just obey. We don't have to understand the big picture of everything, do we? I wonder if Aaron and his sons, at that moment, for those 7 days, if they thought, well, why would it be important if I step outside this tabernacle or not? You know what I mean? We can do that, and it can be so innocent and so simple, and our thinking can change things. We cannot obey just based on rationale alone. So, we're growing, and thank goodness we grow in grace. And I thank the Lord that we're under a new covenant, that Jesus has fulfilled this law. And so he extends mercy, doesn't he? But now we're getting ready to read here, not to a couple chapters here, when we get to the 10th chapter. When the Lord speaks, he means business. And if we don't obey, if you don't obey and do things his way, bottom line, like it or not, there will be consequences for that. All of our actions have consequences to them. And I don't mean to sound like negative Nelly, but the bottom line is this. If we're not obedient to the Lord, if I'm not obedient to the Lord, whether I recognize it or not, my either inability to act on the instructions I've given, my refusal to act on the instructions I've given, affects other people. And yours too. You too. All of us as members of the body of Christ.
What you're going to find as we go through the Old Testament, especially the Pentateuch, my objective is to glean principle.
Yes.
Okay? A lot of people think they don't need the Old Testament. I've actually had it said to me, we're New Testament people. We don't read the Old Testament. I said, well, why don't you take and cut that part out of your Bible and throw it in the trash can if it's no good? That doesn't sit well with me. No, Paul's writing says these things were written for our admonition as examples to us to where we can glean the principles out of this. And so you're not going to be offering animal sacrifices and cutting the guts out of them and burning the fat, okay? the bottom line is, what is the principle that we're wanting to glean out of all this? You're not going through a seven-day consecration with this put on you, that put on you. What's the principle? The principle is follow God's protocol. Don't try to stereotype ministry. Don't try to be like somebody else. Just because these people did this doesn't mean that's what you're supposed to do. You do what God's told you to do. You follow the instructions just exactly like God gives them. You with me? That's the principle that we're wanting you to see in all this. And make sure that God is the one initiating things, not the flesh. Make sure it's initiated by the Spirit, not the flesh. That's the contrast. You're going to see this with Aaron's own sons, two of them. They do something out of the flesh. It costs you when you do that. Okay?
So moving into chapter 9 here, this records the beginning of the priestly ministry of Aaron and his sons, the sacrificial offerings brought and offered for Aaron and the Israelites, the supernatural consumption of the sacrifice on the brass altar, and the people's response to this phenomenon. So verse 1. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel.
All right, so this consecration ceremony lasts 7 days, right? Now look what it says. At the end of the 7 days, on the eighth day, consecration's already done. Now this thing switches from Moses doing the sacrificing to Aaron. Now he's in a position that he can represent, because now he's already been set apart. And so then on the eighth day, Moses assembles Aaron's sons and all the leaders of Israel at the entrance of the tabernacle, okay? Moses gathers them all together. But now these duties are about to change. Moses had to do the consecration of Aaron and his sons and the tabernacle and all this, okay? To get them in a position to where they can do the things for the people. Okay?
That's good. Verse 2. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord.
Now who's doing the sacrifice? Moses said, all right, Aaron, you do this now. Okay? But he had to be separated before he could do that. You with me? A lot of people don't want to get separated so they can do ministry for the Lord. They want somebody else doing everything for them. But God holds you accountable. Okay? And so God wants us all set apart, the entire body of Christ, consecrated to God, set apart for God, not expecting someone to do your job for you. But we have to be trained to know how to do our job. You with me? There's certain things we have to go through. A lot of people say, well, God called me to preach, so I'm going to go preach tomorrow. What are you going to preach? What are you going to do if somebody asks you a question you don't know the answer? You have to have your heart prepared. If God tells you to go, go. But if God doesn't, my advice to you would be to learn from Him so you can properly represent Him. Okay?
You know, we can see in this how you can see almost a gradual release of responsibility with this, where the Lord gave Moses the instructions, I'm going to do this, I'm going to show you. And then you see the we part where you remember with the fat and the loaves, and Moses put it in Aaron's hands and he waved it before the Lord. And now you do. Now you do it. And the Lord will do that with us too. You remember when baptized into the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, you may have experienced this too, prompts you to do something. And you get that real rapid heartbeat, and you know it's the Lord inside of you telling you to do something. And then that just gradually fades away, and you get the instructions, and now you're growing, right? In the Lord, and you just have to follow and obey. And I think there's a lot we can see in this. In verse 2, did I read that already? Not yet? I did. Yeah, verse 3. Thank you. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take you a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf, and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering.
So Moses has told Aaron that you take a young bull for a sin offering, a ram for a whole burnt offering, and present them to the Lord. Now he tells Aaron, you tell the Israelites to bring a male goat for a sin offering for themselves, and a calf, and a lamb, no more than a year old, to offer as a burnt offering. And there was to be no physical defects in either of the animals. This afternoon was looking at this, and Heather said, why? What do you think could be over a year old? I said, innocence. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? This is innocent. No defects. No blemishes. It hadn't matured enough to get bullheaded and stubborn and all this type of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And so you bring the young as the sacrifice for the sin offering. How could it be a sin offering? It has to be innocent, right? It has to be acceptable to God. Okay?
And then in verse 4, also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil, for today the Lord will appear unto you.
Now note this. This is a protocol that God has laid out. So Moses said, they bring their young bull, they bring their ram to the Lord as a peace offering, a grain offering mixed with oil. And then he says, the Lord will appear to them today. Aaron, you tell them to bring this, and then you tell them, the Lord is going to appear to you today. Now, is that a statement of faith?
Mm-hmm.
You can make a statement of faith when you know you've done it God's way. That's the bottom line. You can be confident when you know you've done it God's way.
Get it. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord.
So here again, they're doing what Moses commanded them to do. They bring these animals to the tabernacle of the congregation. This is to be sacrificed to the Lord. And here Israel has assembled together for this event. At the entrance of the tabernacle courtyard, and they stand before the Lord. They're expecting the Lord to show up. Moses said the Lord's going to show up.
You know, there's a difference between the hope and the expectation. Moses wasn't hoping that God would show up. He knew. The expectation was there. In verse 6, and Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that you should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you.
When you do everything the Lord said to do, when we get all this done, the Lord's going to show up. He's going to appear. Let me tell you something. When you do things the way God's told you to do it, you can expect the Lord to show up. He's faithful.
Mm-hmm.
But we're wanting Him to show up and do things our way instead of His way.
And Moses said unto Aaron, Go unto the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make an atonement for yourself and for the people, and offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded.
So now he was to take the bull and for the sin offering, the ram for burnt offering. We read that, right? Now Moses says, all right, this you put to the brass offering, you offer this sin offering and this burnt offering for you. You do it for you. Then after you sacrifice for yourself, then you sacrifice for the people of Israel. You follow the Lord's command. And then he makes atonement for himself. Then he's in a position to make atonement for the people by offering the offering that the Lord has already directed to be offered. You know, if you go into the book of Hebrews, you can see when the contrast is made between the Old Testament high priest and the New Testament high priest, Jesus Christ, you see the contrast of how they had to offer a sin offering for themselves first. Even on the Day of Atonement, they had to, the high priest had to offer a sin offering for himself first, carry it in, then he was in a position to offer for the people, but he couldn't offer for the a sin offering for the people until he had offered a sin offering for himself. You with me? And so this is what's going on here. All right, you make sure that you do this God's way. You offer the sin offering for yourself and the burnt offering. Then after you do that, then you offer for the people.
Aaron therefore went unto the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself.
Now you have to stay with this because Aaron is not doing everything himself. He has to have assistance. His sons as priests are assisting him. Okay? And so just generally speaking, it's like Moses built a tabernacle. Well, Moses didn't build a tabernacle. But Moses oversaw the building of the tabernacle. Right? And so here it says Aaron, he does as the Lord commands. He goes to the brass altar, kills the calf to offer for a sin offering for himself. And then what happens? His sons bring the blood to him. Well, where did they get the blood? You with me? You see where I'm coming from? They were assisting him, okay? And so there was a designated place that animal was to be killed. And so that's exactly what happened. He brings the blood to him. He dips his finger in the blood, puts it on the horns of the brass altar. Then he pours the remaining blood around the base of the brass altar. And I'm a verse ahead of you probably.
That's okay. But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver of the sin offering he burnt upon the altar as the Lord commanded Moses.
So what's he doing? He's offering this burnt offering exactly like the Lord has told Moses and Moses has told Aaron. And so he's following the procedure.
And the flesh and the hide he burnt with fire without the camp.
So he burns the flesh, takes it outside the camp, just like he was told to do.
And he slew the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled round about upon the altar.
So after Aaron's killed the burnt offering, and his sons bring the blood of the slain animal to him, he sprinkles it around the base of the brass altar, or around the brass altar, excuse me.
And they presented the burnt offering unto him with the pieces thereof and the head, and he burnt them upon the altar.
So the animal's killed. It's going to be offered as a burnt offering. Then it's cut into the pieces as it's supposed to be. And then his sons bring these pieces to him, and he burns them on the brass altar, following God's protocol. Mm-hmm. Okay?
And he did wash the inwards and the legs and burnt them upon the burnt offering on the altar.
And here again, you just said this, reiterated.
Mm-hmm.
He's living it out. He's washing these internal organs and offering them as a burnt offering on this brass altar.
And he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it and offered it for sin as the first.
So all these previous things Aaron was doing for himself.
Mm-hmm.
As the high priest. Now, after that's accomplished, he's sacrificing the people's offering. He takes the goat just to be offered as a sin offering, kills it, and just like he did with the sin offering for himself. But he had to get the sin offering for himself first. That's all. We have to get ourselves right before we're in a position to get somebody else right. I've been amazed over the years. People as mixed up as a can of worms want to be counselors to other people. Their life is just like a train wreck, and they want to try to tell somebody else how to run their life. Now you get yours straightened out. You're going to be a counselor to somebody, then you need to get your own life straightened out. You follow me? Get yourself taken care of before God, before you try to give advice and help other people. Make sure you're doing things God's way.
Good. And he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the manner. And then verse 17. And he brought the meat offering and took a handful thereof and burnt it upon the altar beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning.
All this is for the people now. He's like, mm-hmm. He's doing this for the people. This is part of the sin offering and the burnt offering for the people. And so he's doing it as he's supposed to do. Okay?
He slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled upon the altar round about.
So here again, he's just following the same procedure, basically, for the people that he did for himself, doing things God's way without going just into the repetition of all this. With which parts he burnt and the fat and all these type things. But the thing I want you to see is he's doing it God's way. Now, remember that Moses says, after we do what God has told us to do, God's going to show up.
Yeah.
Not before, but after. So these things were preceding God showing up. Consequently, they had to be done exactly like God said in order for God to show up.
That's good. And the fat of the bullock and of the ram, the rump, and that which covered the inwards, and the kidneys and the caul above the liver, and they put the fat upon the breast, and he burnt the fat upon the altar.
Doing it God's way, doing mm-hmm. the wave offering, right?
And the breast and the right shoulder, Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord as Moses commanded.
Now, this is interesting too. After Aaron has offered the sin offering and the burnt offering for the people, he blesses the people.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Now they can be blessed now that their sin has been taken care of, now that they've been sacrificed for. Now he blesses the people, and then he comes down from the service that he was doing for the people.
And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces.
So the sacrifices have been made. The sin offering's been made for Aaron and for the people. It's done. Now Moses and Aaron go into the tent. Then when they come out of the tent, bless the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. It says fire came down from the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat that was on the altar. Now when it talks about Aaron burnt this, how many of you know that it takes more than a minute or two for that to happen? It appears to me that while that is burning, he's doing that, that when they come out, God just consumes it with fire from heaven. Sort of like Elijah calling down fire from heaven that not only consumed the sacrifice, but the water and the stones. Yeah, God's got some powerful fire, you understand? Yeah. Our God is a consuming fire. Isn't that what he says about it?
Yeah.
And so the people see this phenomenal thing take place, just like Moses said it was going to happen, and they all shouted and fell on their face. That'll get your attention, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
But was God good for his word?
Yes.
But it wasn't until the people had done what they were supposed to do. I think I've said it to you guys before, but in ministry, I've said something to the Lord about ministering. He needs to minister to somebody, and he says, I will if you will. I have to step out believing him in faith to follow his direction, believing that God is going to show up. Without a sign from heaven. You with me? You just believe in the integrity of God. Now he's good for his word.
He's good for his word. Excuse me. Now chapter 10, this is a big chapter. It documents the death of Nadab and Abihu, the command for the priest to abstain from intoxicating drinks when ministering before the Lord, instructions concerning the grain and wave offerings, and Moses' anger toward Eleazar and Ithamar. Verses 1 and 2. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord.
Now this is a powerful lesson that we need to learn here. This phenomenal thing has occurred. Fire's come down from heaven, it's consumed that sacrifice, the people of fall on their face and shout to the Lord. Nadab and Abihu, who had been through this consecration period, anointed for the Lord, take it upon themselves to offer incense. God, the King James Version calls it strange fire before the Lord. Many years ago, I was reading that, and I said, Lord, what is strange fire? What's this talking about? He said, what I don't initiate. That's what's strange to me. God did not initiate. God did not tell them, now you burn incense to me. They broke the protocol. Here we're going through this thing, God's showing up, everything's being done God's way, and now they violate. Flesh decides, I need to do something. And you see that in so many church services where God shows up and then flesh rises up and just kills the spirit. But the result of this is their death. because everything is being set in order before the people. Everything is being done God's way. God is being honored, and now God is being dishonored in front of the people. And instantly, their lives are taken from them. You say, well, that's not fair. Who are you to say God's not fair? God's smarter than we are. So if I own the planet and I make the rules, who are you to say that my rules are wrong? You follow? And it's amazing how many people want to change the rules. You know, this nation has a constitution. People want to come in and change the constitution. We're a nation under God. They want to bring their gods in. No. You want to come into the nation? Worship my God. You bring your gods in, you're a dead man. That may sound hard to you, but what did God tell the Israelites when they went into the promised land? You destroy them and their gods. But yet there were heathen who came in and proselyted and worshipped Israel's God. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
We've got to learn to do things God's way. Well, God is love, you love everybody. God hates sin. So what are you going to do with that? God hates. Yeah, God loves, but God hates certain things. And you've got to get the balance in all of this. Love what God loves, hate what God hates. God doesn't need you to help him out as far as assisting him in the way he wants things done. So we get our censers out and offer strange fire before God. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of what's called worship is strange fire. Not nothing God initiates, it's initiated by the flesh. Don't want to get me on that. I mean, there's a difference between entertainment and worship.
Now, we've got a test question here.
Okay.
Nadab and Abihu died because they, and you're going to fill in the blank here, offered strange fire before the Lord. And Pete's mentioned this, that God didn't initiate this. That was the violation. It wasn't as if they were rebelling against a command, per se, that had been given. They just didn't, they didn't wait for their instruction from God. That was,
you know, you can see something similar to this with Korah when he rebelled against Moses and Aaron. And how, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
God set us apart too. We're Kohathites. He was. Some of the others were Reubenites. Moses says, well, let God determine it. Everybody bring your censer.
Mm.
Let's everybody bring your censer and all censer to the Lord, and let's see who God accepts. And you know the story. All of them except Aaron were killed because God had decided that Aaron would be the one to do it, not them. You understand? We have to learn that. We have to learn what our position is and to do things God's way. I can't overemphasize that. Do it God's way. I do not have the right to stand up in front of a congregation and teach my message. God will let me. But what my instructions are is you give them my message. Now, how am I going to do that unless I get it from him? Not fabricate it. Then it's my incense I'm putting on the censer. No, you get the message from God. And then is God speaking to the people, not you, whether they realize it or not.
Then Moses said unto Aaron, "This is it that the Lord spoke, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace.
So when Aaron's sons are killed by the Lord, Moses spoke to Aaron and he told him. He said, you approached a God, you better revere him, because he will demand honor in the presence of the people. And Aaron had no response. What could he say? God's fair. God's just.
Yeah.
Those boys operated presumptuously. They didn't wait for the Lord. They decided they'd just help the Lord out a little bit. And it cost them a life. And Moses said, you're going to represent God. We're going through all these procedures. You're going to do it God's way. So don't you blame. Here's the underlying meaning. Don't you blame God. They missed it. What they did was disrespectful to God. And they paid a price for it. So Aaron has no rebuttal. Okay. All right, tonight's been a little bit different, so I hope you don't think we were too hard, mean, and all this other stuff, but I feel like the Lord had some things to say to try to get some people's attention to see how the devil is trying to deceive them from doing things God's way. Let's do it God's way. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us, you make your face to shine upon us, you're gracious unto us, you lift up your countenance upon us, you give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend. I'm actually living out something right now.